as part of our program here at the OU of Shnayim Mikro, of studying together the Parshios HaShavua each and every week. We turn our attention today to Parshas Tazria. And we begin in Vayikra Perek Yud Beis, the 12th chapter of Vayikra, Pasuk Aleph. Remember, of course, that toward the very end of last week's Parsha, of Parshas Shemini, we read about the various halachos relating to animals, which animals we may eat, which animals we may not, and various dinim about the tumah, which ensues from contact in one way or the other with dead animals, different categories of animals, until the point where the concluding pasuk in last week's Parsha Shemini was that all that we have been studying is lahavdil bein hatomei uvein hatohor, to distinguish between forbidden and unforbidden, between tumah and tahara, between animals which can be eaten and animals which cannot. At the beginning of this week's parsha, relatively briefly, for just a few psukim, the Torah turns its attention to a tumah which does not follow, not the sequence of studying animals, and actually which doesn't follow the theme of tumah upon contact with dead animals, but rather it speaks about human beings, and not about their death, but about the process of birth. And Rashi tells us as an introduction that just as in the creation, animals were created before man, so too the Torah, meaning the dinim, the laws of animals, precedes the laws relating to man. And the first law which we encounter is the law of what happens when a woman gives birth. The fact that she has certain dinim, where she is tomei, where she is tohor, how long she has to wait till she can bring her korbanos, etc. And the pasuk begins, Vayedaber Hashem el Moshe lemor, God spoke to Moshe, notice Moshe alone here, not Aharon, and said to him to speak to the Jewish people, that Isha ki sazria, when a woman becomes gifted with seed, kisazria, when she sprouts forth a seed. Now, what the Targum Unculus understands, that this means when a woman becomes pregnant, Targum Unculus itzoare sa'adi, when a woman becomes pregnant, Rashi understands it differently, and that is when a woman gives birth, even if she does not give birth to a fully formed human fetus, but rather she delivers a liquefied body, a body which is not viable at all. It's machui, it's dissolved and melted down, and it just looks like seed, kisazria. But it's distinguishable that it's a male, or was a male. Or she gives birth to a male, a healthy male child. V'tomo shivas yomim kimei nidas devoso titmo. Immediately upon birth, with what is called, kind of a gruesome phrase, niftach hakever, the tomb is open, meaning the womb opened. Even if there is no blood, it's possible to have a leido yevesho, a birth where there is no blood, just the birth of a child. then what ensues is a period of 7 days in which she is tome, and she has the same halacha in those 7 days as the halacha of a nida, of a menstruant woman. And the Torah refers to that status as nidas devosa. Rashi gives us two interpretations of the word devosa. It could mean her flow, her menstrual flow. And the Mefarshim point out that whereas the Hebrew word for flow is zav, zayin vez, in Aramaic, often there is a similarity between words with a zayin and words with a dalet. So zav, dov, very similar. And of course, vez and vav easily mitchalfim, easily can be transposed one for the other. So the dalet vav is related to the dalet vez, which in turn is related to the zayin vez, her flow. Or it can mean her illness. Because as Rashi puts it, when a woman menstruates, inevitably there is some weakness, physical illness. And that is called devosa, related to the word madve, which is a Hebrew word which means holy, illness. So she has the status upon birth of a male child of 7 days nida. Uvayom hashemini yimol besar orloso. On the 8th day, he shall circumcise the flesh of his orla, the covering of the organ which is cut and removed upon circumcision. This is a parenthesis pasuk of just 5 words, the mitzvah of mila, which of course we learned about long ago back in Chumash Bereishis. But here we are told, yimol, he, in the masculine, not the mother, but the father, has the obligation to perform the mitzvah of mila. And bayom hashmini, on the 8th day, even if that 8th day falls on Shabbos. But after, from that point on, after the first 7 days beginning with the 8th day, back to the mother's status, ushloshim yom ushloshes yomim teshev bidmei tahora. For 33 additional days, 33 plus 7 equals 40. So from day 8 until day 40, 33 days, teshev, literally she sits in a status where her blood is tahor, even if she's bleeding, seemingly menstruating, the halacha of that blood is tahora, the dam is tahor. Paradox, that's the halacha. Teshev, Rashi says, should not be translated as she sits, but rather as she remains, or she occupies, she is held in a state in which her dam, her blood, is tohor, is not tome. However, she is not, although she's not tome in the sense of being like a nida, but nevertheless she has the halacha of a tefulas yom aroch. For this entire period, when her yemei tumah are over, she can't go to the mikvah on the 8th day and become tohor. She has to wait till day 40. And during that time, those 33 days, total of 40 days, b'chol kodesh lo siga, literally she should not touch sacred food, food of korbanos, or even teruma. Chazal say that here, b'chol kodesh lo siga, halachically means she should not eat kodesh, things which are sacred. Vel hamikdash lo savo, nor should she enter the holy temple, admelos yemei tahoro, until the days of her purity, those 30 days, are over. So in Pasuk Dalit, you will notice if you read the text carefully, that the middle phrase, bidmei tahoro, there is no mapik, there is no little dot in the hay, meaning the blood is tahor. The last phrase in the pasuk is Yimei Tohoro. There is a Mapike, and there the translation is the days of her purity. The Mapike indicating the pronoun her. So for a male, 7 days she's Tomei Tumas Nido, 33 additional days her blood is Tohor, but she cannot function as an Isha Tohoro. She cannot eat Kodoshim, nor can she enter the Beis HaMikdosh. And then what? Wait a moment. We have now alternative number two. V'im nikevo selet. If she gives birth to a female child, to a daughter, v'tomo shvuayim kenidoso. Then she has a 2 week period when she has the status of a nida, as if she was a nida. 2 weeks. V'shishim yom v'sheishes yomim, and an additional 66 days. An additional 66 days. Teshev al demei tahoro. When she remains in a state in which her blood is tohor. Her blood is not tome, even though she's bleeding. 66 days of yemei tohar. A total of 80 days. 14 plus 66, in which she's tome for 2 weeks. Her blood is tohor for 66 days. But she still cannot eat Kodoshim or enter the Beis HaMikdosh. Then, what happens after this period of total of 40 days or total of 80 days? What happens on day 41 in the case of a male birth or 81 in the case of a female birth? Pasuk Vav. Uvimlos yimei tohoro, when her, mapike, when her days of purity are over, after 33 days for a male, 66 for a female. Levain olavas. Either way, on day 41 or 81, Tovi keves ben shenosoli ola. She brings a year-old sheep as a korban ola, a korban to be totally consumed upon the altar, upon the mizbeah. Number one korban. And number two korban is a bird, uven yona, a young pigeon, osor, a type of a pigeon or dove, lechatos, as a sin offering. And she brings these two korbanos, the ola and the chatos, el pesach ohel moed el hakohen, to the door of the tent of assembly to the kohen. Vihikrivo, and the kohen will offer it, singular, not offer them, the two korbanos, it. Rashi, of course, says that to tell you that only one of these korbanos, namely the chatos, the bird, is ma'akev, prevents her from eating kodshim. If she brings the bird chatos, but not the sheep, ola, she can proceed and eat kodshim and enter the Beis HaMikdosh. Therefore, in the singular vihikrivo, if she brings just it, v'chiper oleho, this will bring a forgiveness for her. So obviously we're referring to the korban chatos. V'toharo mimekor domeho, she becomes pure from the fount of her blood, meaning she's no longer considered tomei in any way, and she can proceed. After that point, she brought her korbanos on day 41, 81. She now is totally pure. She can eat kodeshim. She can eat truma. She can enter the Beis HaMikdosh. Zos toras hayoledes lazochor olanakevo. These are the laws which refer to a woman who gives birth, male, to a male or to a female. Here the Torah throws in one more pasuk, and that is the notion of a, what we would call today a sliding scale. Suppose a woman can't afford a sheep and a bird. Then we have a certain compensation, certain state of permission, special exception. V'imlo simtso yodo deise, literally, if her hands cannot find enough to buy a sheep, meaning she's too poor to afford a sheep, then it's okay, she can bring two grown pigeons, ushnei b'nei yona, two young doves, echad la'ola, echad l'chatos, one for a ola offering, bird, the other for a sin offering, bird. And she will receive, if she can't afford it, she will receive the same degree of forgiveness, the same degree of purity, as if she bought the sheep and the bird. That's all that the Torah tells us about this important and obviously extremely common situation, childbirth. I want to just share with you very briefly the fact that why does she bring an ola and a chatos? Why a chatos? A sin offering? What sin has she committed? So here we have a Mamre Chazal in Meseches Nida, Daf Lamed Aleph, Amid Beis. Sho'alu Talmidov es Rabbi Shimon ben Yochoi mipnei ma omro toro yoledes mevio korbon. Why does the Torah say that a woman who gives birth must bring a sin offering? Omar Lohen, Rav Shimon ben Yochoi, was very knowledgeable, obviously had seen women in labor, said, Omar Lohen, Bishor Shekuras Leilet. When a woman is in the throes of labor and in great, great pain, and not totally conscious, Kofetzes V'nishbas, she just swears, I'm never going to let my husband come near me again. Look what happened. We had marital relations. I became pregnant, and now I'm suffering unbearably. Never again. And she swears, Shelo tizokek labalo. And the Torah says, well, she has therefore uttered an oath, which she cannot keep. She's a married woman, and she will regret ever having sworn this way. So therefore the Torah requires a korban chatos. Just as for a shuas bitui, you bring a korban chatos. So she did commit a sin, and it's a common sin. Women in that condition say all sorts of things at that moment, which they do not ultimately mean, but they swear, and because of that, she brings a korban chatos. Now the Torah proceeds to another halacha which has to do with human tumah. Remember, last week's parsha was animal tumor, now human tumor. And this brings us to the subject of tzoras, which often is translated leprosy. I will not translate tzoras as leprosy. I've read enough learned opinions, both from our sacred literature and from the secular literature, to realize that we are not talking here about what we understand today as the disease of leprosy. We're speaking of something else. Indeed, the Rambam writes that these negoim, these various illnesses, skin blemishes, scars, discolorations that we are about to learn about, are not natural. In the words of the Rambam, Einom miminhago shel olam, these are not natural phenomena. This is not leprosy disease, which is a natural phenomenon, which has been studied scientifically for centuries. But rather, writes the Rambam, Ela os upele hoyo bi Yisrael. This is a wondrous sign which God has given us, which only occurs to Jews, and it is all because kedei lahazhirei miloshen hara. This tzoras, which we will not translate as leprosy, but just as tzoras, is a consequence, a punishment for malicious gossip. Malicious gossip in the eyes of our Chazal is, if not the worst sin possible, certainly up there among the top sins in the eyes of our Torah. And God has given us a special condition, which is a wondrous, non-natural, miraculous condition or set of conditions, known as tzoras, which are os v'pele. This opinion is expressed in the Rambam in Hilchas Tumas Tzoras, Perek Tes Zayin, Halacha Yud, and in the Ramban, quoted later in this parsha, in the coming parsha, Yud Gimel, in Pasuk Mem Zayin. when one looks carefully at those sources, the Rambam especially and the Ramban too, it seems that they are referring to what we are going to be studying about in a few days, namely nigoim, discolorations, in clothing, fabric, and in houses, in wood and stone. But if you look in the Rambam in Hilchos Nigoim, Perik Yud Beis, if you look in the Rambam in the Pirush HaMishnayos, this is in commentary on the Mishnah, in Meseches Nigoim, Perek Yud Beis Mishneh, and also in the Kuzari, the Rabbi Yehuda Levi's Kuzari, the second section, the 62nd paragraph, Beis, Samach Beis in the Kuzari, and in other sources, you will see explicitly that this opinion refers not just to Nigoi Begodim Ubotim, not just to Negoim, discolorations, blemishes on clothing and on houses, but also on human flesh. It's not leprosy. It's os upele, kedela hashira miloshen hora. We'll follow that and just translate soras as soras. So let's proceed now. We're still before Sheni, to Perek Yud Gimel. Vayedaber Hashem el Moshe v'el Aharon lemor. Here, God speaks not just to Moshe, but to Moshe and Aharon. A tip-off that there's a special role that's going to be played here by the Kohen, by Aharon and by his descendants. And that is, Odom, a person. And if you look in the Chizkuni, he says, Odom here means a person, male or female, Katon v'gadol, minor or adult. Adam here does not seem to mean non-Jew. It's not that comprehensive. But man or woman, old or young, ki yihyeh v'or b'soro, if in his flesh, upon his flesh, he observes se'eis o sapachas o vaheres, a discoloration of the skin. And Chazal tell us that there are four such discolorations. Three are mentioned here. Se'es sapachas obaheres. And they refer to three different intensities of whiteness. It's a discoloration where the skin appears white. Baheres, it's white as snow. Se'es, it's white like the clean wool of an infant sheep, which is less white than a baheres, but still white. That's se'es. Then there is another degree of white called sapachas habaheres, the secondary baheres color, which is white too, but white not as snow, but rather as the plaster in the Holy Temple. So the whitest is less snow. The next whitest is sheep wool of a young sheep. The third whitest is sapachas habaheres, which is plaster, the white plaster of the Hechel. And then there's the fourth white, and that is sapachas ha-se'es, the secondary se'es, which is white too, but least white of the four whites. It is white like the white membrane, soft membrane, just under the hard shell of the egg. There is this flimsy, filmy membrane, which is white too, but less white than the plaster, less white than the wool, less white, of course, from the white as snow. But white, four different levels of intensity of white. And you find this discoloration. For hayav yor b'soro l'negat tzoras. There's a suspicion here that this is tzoras. There's a tzoras blemish. What do you do to diagnose it? Is it a tzoras, and what are the consequences if it is a tzoras? V'huvo el ha-kohen. It has to be brought. V'huvo means he is brought forcefully. He is brought to the kohen, to Aaron ha-kohen. O el achad mi-bonov ha-kohanim. He is brought to the Aaron or to one of his children. And as Rashi says, the diagnosis here must be done by a kohen. You cannot take him to the most skilled and learned and expert dermatologist in the world. If that dermatologist is not a Kohen, his opinion does not count. We are told by Chazal that suppose a Kohen is just a Kohen, but is not learned at all, and doesn't know these halachos at all. So what you do is you have someone who is a mumche, someone who is expert in the dermatological conditions and the halachos involved, and he tells the Kohen what to do, and the Kohen pronounces, this is what you do, this is what you do, this is tome, this is tor. But it's got to be brought to the Kohen. He has to be involved. Stage one. Vero ha-Kohen es ha-nega b'or ha-bosor v'seor ba-nega hofach lovon. If he sees that this nega, this blemish, in it there's a hair, a body hair, Rashi says minimum of two body hairs, have turned white. The person's a brunette, a blonde, a redhead, whatever, but the skin has turned unnaturally white. Umarei ha-nega omok me'or besoro, and the appearance of the nega is as if it was deeper than the surrounding flesh. And Rashi points out that whenever you have white upon a black background, the white appears deeper than the black. So here you have one of these four levels of white, which is a basic criteria. If it's not that white, it doesn't appear deeper than its background of skin, then it is not even a candidate for this whole process. Just throw out the case, no problem. But if it is that white, that it appears deeper than the surrounding context of the ore of the skin, then if there is a seyor lovon, if there are two white hairs in that nega, negatzoraasi, that's an indication that this is a blemish which can be labeled soras. Vira'o ha-kohen, v'timei oso, those two white hairs are a sign of definite tuma. The Kohen pronounces it tomei, tomei muchlat. That means absolutely tomei, no further discussion. Number one. However, number two, pasuk dalet. V'im ba'heres levono hi ba'or b'soro v'omok ein mar'eho min ha'or. Suppose it looks white, but not so white that its appearance is as if it was deeper than the skin. So it doesn't have this criterion of white and therefore appearing deeper than the skin. A. And B. U'sa'oro lo ho'fach levon. The hair has not turned white. Then it's a problem. Can't say tome yet. The Kohen must enclose this nega for 7 days. What does it mean he must enclose? Rashi says, Yaskirenu bebayis echod. The person must be enclosed in a house. He's put into an isolation chamber. And he stays there for 7 days. There are other opinions other than Rashi. One is that as the literal meaning of the pasuk is v'hiskir ha-kohen es hanega, it doesn't say that the negua, that the person, the odom, is enclosed, but rather that the bruise or blemish is enclosed. And therefore there are those who say that it simply means that the kohen takes a little bit of red ink and makes a mark around blemish and waits 7 days to see what occurs. We'll follow Rashi. The person is now in an isolation chamber. Vera'o ha-kohen bayom ha-shvi'i, on day 7, at the end of this first hesker, this first day of enclosure, V'hine ha-nega, the Kohen comes and examines it for the second time now at the end of 7 days. V'hine ha-nega omad be'enov, lo foso ha-nega ba'or. The nega has not changed color, not gotten whiter, and it has not spread, lo foso, it has not grown, not spread. Still can't say tohor yet, things are still indeterminate. V'hisgiro ha-kohen shivas yomim shenis. And the Kohen must again perform this enclosure following Rashi, he must again isolate this person in a house. Shivas yomim shenis, for a second period of 7 days. What happens at the end of this time? Well, we reached sheni. We'll keep you into suspense until the next lesson, which will take us from sheni to shlishi. So we've studied now Tazria from the beginning to sheni.